Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, my hookup to everyone. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress T, and of course, we are always really, really happy to be with you live and in living color. And of course, this is our regular edition of New Day. We are now approaching, going into our 14th straight year. And so that should really kind of convey some things. With that said, I want to thank everyone that came out today for our monthly forum at Spirit First Foods. And of course, we today talked about Black business, entrepreneurship, of course, economics, finance, and wealth building. This is Black business, but we kind of attach something else to it. We call it Black business and self-determination month because we want to combine not just the idea of business, Black business, but doing business with a certain type of focus. And so, again, self-determination is key, and that is what we're striving for and, of course, are doing. Today was interesting because we were able to really begin to kind of look closer at some of the things that we've been talking about over these years, but also now are putting them in place. One of the things that's happening here in Philly is to really just begin to speak truth to power and to show to a greater extent how our communities have not only been infiltrated, manipulated, and so forth, but also we're talking and looking more at what it is we're going to do about it. With that said, clearly, we've got to now take some serious steps, making certain that our people have an understanding of who is really doing what in our communities, but also who isn't. And particularly the people who say they are so much about certain kinds of things. Being Black, for example. What does that really mean? I mean, okay, yep, culturally, folks look real, really good, you know, locks, you know, attire, you know, books, all of that. But how is that applied in real time in the community? Where's our schools? Where's our cultural centers? Where is anything in our community that really is about sustaining us, that's really about advancing us? And so we now are going to ask that question. We now must begin to really look closer at what has happened in our communities and why. So tonight we're going to have that conversation a little bit. We're going to examine what has happened in our communities, who has been a part of that, and also we're going to look closer at what we need to do about it. Okay? So with that said, family, I want y'all to buckle up. Now, very shortly, we're going to talk with, I think, Brother Ashe S.J., talk. Those who got the opportunity to listen to Thoroughbred talk this past week, then surely you got a treat because it was really, really good. It was not only good, it was like right on point, and certainly it provided a lot of insight into, well, how we need to start handling some things. And what I mean by that is this. Yes. We're dealing with people who are supposed to be representing our best interests. Let's say it is from the political arena. Let's say it is from the business arena. Let's say it is from the African liberation or justice arena. The bottom line is something is going on. Something is going awry. And so what we're going to talk about tonight, family, is, of course, how, who it is that's kind of perpetuating this, and again, what those who are serious can in fact do about it. So, with that said, again, we should be talking with, if not Sister Keisha, Brother Ashe. Again, both of them are hosts for Thorough Black Talk. I want to kind of review or give you all some insight into what was discussed on their last program, which, of course, was Thursday. But, again, when you hear it, please note it's not about trying to bash anybody or try to character assassinate anybody. I'll be the last one to try to do something like that because that has been done for me on numerous occasions. So I'm definitely very sensitive to that kind of behavior. But at any rate, what we do want to do is, again, speak truth to power. We want to make sure that our people really know that some folks really are serious and are ready to take some action. So now, as we begin to examine further what is going on in our communities and why, we also can assure you that we are, some of us that is, are taking steps and measures to address it. Now, but also tonight, we want to talk more about the call to Black women. I had hoped more Black women would have responded, but hey, it's okay. Because, see, this is what we know. When the stuff starts hitting the fan, people are going to start scurrying. And what I mean by that is, it's just like with this COVID thing. It hit, folks had no idea what to do because we weren't prepared. We had no idea we would be hit with something like this. And I'm talking specifically about the manipulation of having to wear a mask, having to do this, can't do that, blah, blah, blah. And you had no choice. I mean, when it comes to, for example, going into certain buildings, at some point they even had certain stores. You couldn't get X amount of items or certain things. So at some point, we had very little choices about some things. So now they've run that through to see how effective their plans would be. And now they see. So you've got to know that something else is definitely coming. And again, how prepared will we be? Well, I could be wrong, but I kind of think not very much or not very well, looking at what we're looking at now, looking at how many people are literally accepting taking the vaccine. I mean, I saw something on TV the other day that was just amazing to me. How many so-called celebrities or people of influence that are really encouraging people to take the vaccine and not really asking any real questions, just, you know, this is what you should do. And blah, blah. So my point is there's a lot of stuff that's going on now that is going to have a very, very detrimental and serious effect for the future. The point is going to be how prepared are we going to be as a people? And I can tell you after today's discussion, even though I am very fearful, frightful of what's happening, I can tell you that a lot of our people are not going to survive, which is their plan. But enough of us will survive, best believe that. But a lot of folks are not going to survive. And I'm not just talking about their present position. I'm talking about the future, their future generations, because now we're dealing with biological warfare. See, we've been dealing with mental, we've been even dealing with spiritual, and definitely physical, in terms of what they, you know, people have been given to eat and to consume and so forth and so on. But now it is of a totally different type. Not that it wasn't there before, but not to the degree that it is now and the way that it's being accepted. So the manipulation of genes, the manipulation of future production or the type of being that's going to be produced. I know that might sound a little bit, you know, like science fiction or some stuff like that, but hey, we shall see. That's all I can say. The bottom line is, family, there's some serious stuff going on, and the question is, has to be, how prepared are we going to be when it hits the fan? And again, it's a rhetorical question for me because I have a pretty good idea already what's happening. So we're going to talk a little more about that tonight. Again, I want to welcome all of you for tuning in to this segment of New Day. Some of our conversations are going to start getting a little deep. So again, like Sister Keisha and Brother Ted and Brother Ashe on their program this past week, I'm telling you, it was like really interesting. And I liked it because it was right to the point. It was to the point. It wasn't vindictive. It wasn't mean-spirited. It was the truth. And that seems to be what a lot of people are afraid of. And I guess rightfully so, you know, depending on your perspective. But they just put some information out there, and again, I want to be able to share some of that information with you all. Again, we should be talking to Brother Ashe. We're going to also talk to Brother Bigger Dre, because the brother brought something to my attention about a week ago, and I don't watch this show, American Idol. I'm really not into that, so I wasn't really familiar with the sister who has been on that program. I don't know if she won or anything like that, but from what I have seen thus far, she was featured on that program at some point. However, our discussion about the sister is relevant to the fact that they took her children, meaning the sister. They took her children. And again, black women, I'm telling you, and you will see it more and more, unless we are organized to the degree that we must be, best believe this system has a plan. And the plan is going to be about taking our children. We said this 5 years ago. We said clearly that we must begin to take action, our women that is, to know and understand what's getting ready to happen and to be prepared for it. Well, now it's happening. More and more of our children are being taken from our families. And so tonight we're going to talk about that. We're going to give you an example. Brother Vicar Dre is going to be joining us to, because he was the one that first reported it to us, and he has an update on that report. This family was seeking some medical assistance or medical care, you know, which we'll go into later, and they went to the hospital. And lo and behold, after going there, and the people kind of peeking that, oh, these are some real black folks. It was some real conscious, and yeah, I'm using the word conscious, you know, people who really, you know, trying to do some things. And the next thing we know, they keeping the children and putting them in foster care and all of that. And this sister was nursing the child and was pregnant with another one. So you're going to hear that story tonight and hopefully begin to help us wake particularly some of these mothers up, and fathers too, but mothers in particular, because they're the most vulnerable at this time. They're the most vulnerable. And this system is going to prey, and I don't mean P-R-A, I mean P-R-E-Y, on them, on us. And now we have to ask the question, what are our women going to do? When this system starts coming down on you, who are you going to turn to? Where are you going? You see, this is what folks better get real clear about, because it's coming. It's actually here. And so the time is going to come when, as we're seeing in some other situations, people are going to be reaching out for help. And where are you going to be reaching to? People who are already in the system. And what do you think they're going to end up doing when it comes to certain things? When this system manipulates and say, oh, we're doing something in the best interest of the health of the child, most folks are going to fold, you see, and this system knows that. So, sisters, I'm just going to say this again. I'm going to keep saying it. We need to be organized. MWM has been steadfast, has been consistent, has been positioned accordingly. If you do not support, it's not MWM, something that specifically is focusing on our women and girls, I'm telling you what's getting ready to happen. Okay, now, here's the deep part, what I call the myotic effect. You're hearing what's being said. Some of you know that we're speaking the truth to power, and I'm telling you there will be an accountability if you do not take action in the best and more appropriate manners. Okay, so we'll go more into that a little later on, but I'm just saying the time has come for the real women to stand up and let the girls sit down when it comes to fighting for our people. So moving right along, let's see. Brother Ashe, if you are in queue, I need you to press 1 so that I can see you. Oh, cool. All right. We got Brother Ashe, SJ, in the house. All right. Well, family, look, again, this conversation we're getting ready to have is not one to try to be vindictive or petty or anything like that. It's time we tell the truth about what's going on in our communities, because the reality is, and I bear witness to what's happened here in Philly. People have become festival-oriented or conference-oriented. And I mean, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with that. It's fine. It's a good thing. I mean, definitely. But ask them, what else do they do? And how often do they do it? What are they trying to build, or what are they supporting that is being built that's independent? You start asking those questions in your community, I'm guaranteeing you're going to come with some very interesting answers. And 9 times out of 10 is not going to be anything that's relevant to us being free when it comes to self-determination and being independent. Now, today we held our session at Spirit First Foods, a Black-owned restaurant. But our position is, we're not just saying buy Black. Oh, no, 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 no. Our position is, first, support Black businesses that support us, our community, our issues. It doesn't make sense to just support Black. Okay, fine. But if you're buying Black and they thinking and doing white, then what? What does that mean? So we have to be, I think, a little more intelligent in terms of how we are proceeding in the future with our campaign. So again, today we were at Spirit First Foods. We're going to be doing things with ACAF, the African Cultural Arts Center. We're going to be doing more with them. They actually make their own, and it's all over the country, in different stores and everything. They actually manufacture the body, shampoo for hair, the body soap, and so forth. And they do their own incense, literally from scratch. Right? These are the types of businesses and entities that we're looking at building with at this time. Literally manufacturers and producers. We're going to get with the rest later, but right now the priority is producing those that are making their own jewelry, making their own crowns, making their own herbal compounds. We want to build with you. Next year is the 25-year anniversary, and we want to be able to present products from all around the country that are Black made, manufactured, produced, video, music, you name it. We'll tell you more about that later. It's called In the Black, 360-365. That's our new business initiative that we're launching nationwide. Okay, brother, our Ashe's in the house. Family, y'all buckle up, because this is not a conversation for the weak or the weary. This is one of those nights, y'all, where we're going to get down with the get down. So with that said, let me open up my line here. And without further ado, we're going to welcome Brother Ashe, I think this is his first time joining us for New Day, but definitely not the last. Brother Ashe, greeting to you, my brother.
Peace, peace, peace. Good evening to the Black family. Bibi Fahodier, good evening, family. Thank you. First of all, I want to take my hat off to you, Empress Chi, for everything that you do. You know, like I told you before, I met you quite a few years ago when I was a young and wet behind the ears in this movement. You know, just a spectator at that point before I started to get active. I was just learning. But I met you at the Malcolm X Memorial. I still have a picture from that day. So, you know, who would have known that I would be active now and really, you know, trying to be solution-oriented and, you know, boots on the ground with our people to this
That's
day.
Right.
You know? So I'm just
That's
grateful
right.
for my journey, and I'm grateful for everybody that contributed to my development, me being becoming who I am, you know. So appreciate
wow.
you, Empress.
Wow. Well, hey, Brother Black, at you, and certainly it's really a blessing to be able to see, you know, growth and development right before your eyes. You know, that's just, wow. That's on point. And you know, you carry the spirit, and that's, you know, very important to say. A lot of people talk stuff, but when you can feel the spirit of those who have, you know, given their lives for what we're talking about and doing. So in you, I can feel the spirit of Dr. Khalid Muhammad.
And
I'm going to say this because I can. I don't get that same spirit from people who was actually with him.
Absolutely. You're right.
I'm just telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some things that we really need to comprehend and make it clearer, that just because somebody was with somebody, that don't mean they really represent.
Absolutely.
And that's why, and even with me, my brother, I've had people, yeah, I know that sister, yeah, I was with her, you know, like in 1941. Well, y'all know, not 1941, mm-hmm. but you know what I mean, right? But I'm saying they'll be telling you stuff like you, and I'll be listening, you know, people, I'm like, wait a minute, what? So
mm-hmm.
somebody
yep.
was around you for a couple of months, and now they know you like that?
Yep.
No. They fall off. So, brothers, welcome. We appreciate you. We love you. You know, serious Black men, straight up, much love, much respect, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I'm looking forward, you know, to your further growth and development, and, you know, we're going to do some things. That's all there is to that.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
This week's Thorough Black Talk, that's why when I reached out to Sister Keisha, I said, man, because I've been telling people about it, and I told them, y'all got to hear this. So they're going to go back and listen, you know, on the YouTube piece, but I wanted you to be able to respond, you know what I'm saying? See, on the YouTube
mm-hmm.
thing is tape, so all you can do is watch and listen. But I want to be able
right.
to say something and hear you respond to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I thank you again for taking the time. It was the last minute. I really appreciate, you know, you coming in. So, family,
this is what
we're going to do. I'm going to turn it over to you in a minute, brother. This is what we're going to do. And then we're going to leave it up to you all. If you have a question or comment, those who dare, it's okay if you don't. But this is getting ready to get really real. And we need to, because there's too much going on in our community that is really, you know, it's not only holding us back, it is destroying us. To some degree. And
that's
so
right.
when I heard Brother Ted, oh gosh, man, y'all was, y'all don't even know. When I heard y'all the other night, I mean, it just re-sparked some things in me. And now I'm like, okay, some folks get
yeah.
it. So without further ado, the mic is yours. I'm just going to start off by saying, recently, there was a meeting that took place in New York, and I'm going to let you go from there.
Right. Peace, family. So first off, I'd like to say, you know, once again, my name is Ashe S.J. I'm a Bed-Stuy resident, Brooklyn, New York. very accessible in the community, dealing with the people. I'm not somebody that's a keyboard warrior. I'm not somebody that I even like to be online. I'm not somebody to make videos. I'm not making a video about Umar. And honestly, I don't even like the fact that I'm associated with what happened and what's going on right now. You know, the only reason I agreed to talk about it again is because it's Empress Chi, you know, and that's when she put the word out, you know, I got to hold it down. So, but yeah, this is something that normally I don't like to be associated with. But, you know, what's most important is getting real results and, you know, not being afraid. Like, for instance, I created like a platform that's called Solid African. And what I'm really trying to push through that platform is Black power, but specifically through self-improvement and character development. So we go out in the community and we do certain things to help the community, but then we also focus internally because we know that a lot of people in this quote-unquote conscious community are great orators. Their oratory skills are amazing. They can speak all day. They sound amazing. But when it comes to the results, we really seldomly see it. You know, sometimes it becomes empty rhetoric, you know, and then it becomes when you try to hold these people accountable. Well, honestly, nobody holds people accountable anymore. You know, nobody really does that. We got to, I mean, it's a rare few of us that are built like that, that really want results, so we'll hold people accountable. But otherwise, it's rare to see people hold people accountable and also hold themselves accountable. So that's what I'm all about is self-improvement. I want to hold myself accountable. I want people to hold me accountable, and I want to hold other people accountable so we can get free. So with what happened recently, it was this Tuesday, that was Marcus Garvey's birthday. There's an elder out here. Well, I don't even know if I could call her elder anymore. If we you say I'm keeping it thorough on the show, right?
That's right.
I'm talking about it, right? All right, all right.
That's right.
Well, there's this promoter, I guess you could call her. Her name is Ya Asante. Well, she's been doing work for a very long time. I respected her. You know, never disrespected her. Oh, I've been to a couple of her events and all of that, you know. So she had... something that she has every year, which is a Marcus Garvey parade. So every year on Marcus Garvey's birthday, she has people in the street, you know, like an actual parade, people with banners. I think she actually had like a police car too, so it was organized. Like, and then after the parade, they walk around in Harlem. I'm from Brooklyn, mind you, so I went to Harlem just to support this. And they walk around in Harlem in the street, and then afterwards they usually end with some kind of event. So I was invited by a friend of mine. I didn't even realize it was happening. So I got a message that morning, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to come through today. So I just sporadically went randomly. I just wanted to show love. It's Marcus Garvey's birthday. I came with positive intentions. But I didn't realize until I got there that, well, actually it was a little before. It was when the sister messaged me. That's when I realized that Umar Johnson was on it, right? So I'm like, cool. I don't have no beef with nobody, you know. But at the end of the day, we know that a lot of people have been complaining and are discouraged because of this guy, and also other people in the community, because people promise things, they do all the talking, they get in your pocket, and then next thing you know, you don't ever see them and you don't see no results. So I'm like, cool, whatever. They got Leonard Jeffries on the platform. He's speaking. They also have Malik Zulu Shabazz from the New Black Panther Party. He's speaking. So I'm like, cool. Even if I don't rock with Umar, I can still see the other people. So I came for that. But when I got there, right, I walked in the parade. After the parade, when I was entering the building for the actual after event, Umar Johnson was standing outside. So in my spirit, you know, it don't feel right with me feeling the way I feel about it. Mind you, also, I donated to Umar Johnson School and I purchased his book years ago. Years ago. So when we talk about the length of time that this person, Umar Johnson, has been begging people, you know, promoting this school that still has not come to fruition yet, it's been a decade. I have a personal picture, and this is how I know it was that long. Well, the picture that I have, I took a picture with Umar Johnson when I donated and bought his book, and it's on Facebook. So Facebook, in Facebook, they tell you a memory from in the past, like a picture that you put up a long time ago. This picture I put up 7 years ago. 7 years ago at UAM, United African Movement, right here in Brooklyn.
Yep.
And, so that's how I knew that this was a very long time ago. So he's been asking for funds and donations for this school for almost a decade and still nothing. So naturally, when I go there, I feel like I have the right to ask him a question. So that's precisely what I did. Now, when I first approached him, he was like trying to ignore what I was like when I was calling his name. He was acting like he didn't hear me. I'm like, wow, okay. I thought that was interesting. Then he walked away. So I walked to him. So he couldn't really like avoid me. So I started talking to him. I didn't immediately go to him with any hostility or anything because I know his character from watching I don't follow him at all. Cause I've been stopped following him because people been disgruntled and you know, discouraged and felt crazy about him for a very long time because he hasn't produced any results. So I don't follow him, but I've seen in the past, and other people share it, they talk about like a lot of, discretions, like things that he has done that was totally horrible character, numerous occasions. You know, there's videos and memes, they clown him online because of the things that he's done and said. So I went up to him. So the first thing I did, I introduced myself. I'm like, peace, my name is Ashe. I met you a long time ago at UAM. When I dropped that name, he automatically was cool. He was like, oh, wow, UAM. Oh, yeah. So he know what time it is. He know that I'm a baby from UAM. So he acting cool at this point, whatever. I'm like, all right. So the second sentence I said to him was, listen, it's a lot of smut on your name. For people that don't know, smut is basically just saying like mud, dirt on your name because, a lot of people are, discouraged because they actually donated to your cause and they purchased your book and all of that stuff and you still haven't done anything. So I asked them, I said, what would you say to these people that are discouraged that purchased your book and donated to you and there's still no school? Like, what is the status of your school? So this man never answered any of the questions that I asked him throughout this whole period. Just so y'all know, he never answered a single question. This guy's the master at tap dancing, beating around the bush, switching up, and it's because he's a really good speaker. So the thing about it is a lot of people will fall victim to that, you know, because they're not built the way a lot of us are that are really experienced in this movement. So people fall victim to that, and, you know, then it's a lot of celebrity worship or what you want to call personality worship when people should really be worshiping the actions and the deeds of people. They, instead of worshiping the deeds, the things that people do, they worship the personality because he sounds so good and he makes us feel good when he speaks. So people get caught up in that. But when I asked him a question, I said, what would you say to these people? He said, this is what he said to me, family. He said, you can't bring 10 or 20 people to Umar Johnson. That's what he said to me. So I'm like, wow, I see where this is going. So I responded. I said, Umar, it's not 10 or 20 people. There's hundreds of people online that are complaining about you because they donated and you still don't have a school yet. So he responded and said, well, where are these people? I never see these people. Show me these people because he don't believe what I'm telling him. See, like, show me these people. I'm like, Umar, this is exactly what I said. I said, it's not practical. I can't bring 100 people to you right now in front of you. So then he proceeds to say, well, all of these people are haters. So I said, Umar, everybody that holds you accountable, just because somebody is holding you accountable, it doesn't make them a hater. But this is the thing. So he feels like he's the top requested scholar. He say it all the time. He feels like he's unapproachable. He can't be held accountable. I don't know why. You know what I'm saying? Because people like us, we don't worship the things that he say like everybody else. We worship the actions. That's what really makes you. So he really don't hold no weight, you know, until something really happens, until he does something. But anyway, so he's saying that everybody is a hater. So I tell him, everybody that holds you, the people aren't haters just because they hold you accountable. So at this point, he's literally just like being very egotistical, you know, showing horrible character. I actually said that to him, but the conversation wasn't getting anywhere. So I said, all right, you know what? Since I can't bring these people to you to show you, how about we talk about me? Because I met you, like I told you earlier, I met you 7 years ago at UAM, United African Movement. I donated and I bought your book, and there's no school. So why don't we talk about me? So when I said that, he began to start talking about, oh, well, nobody has done as much as me, and I'm the top, you know, I talk to everybody, like I speak, and nobody asks to speak about children and little black boys the way I do. That's basically what he was saying. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but he's saying nobody has done as much as him. So then the next statement is he's starting to, like, repeat the same thing. And mind you, the whole time he's saying all of this, he's not looking me in my eye. He's not. He's looking left and right, shape moving sporadically. Like, I'm picking up on that, too. I'm like, is he scared or nervous or what? I don't know what's going on. Answer out of him. So when he says nobody has done more than me, the second time he said it, he said, I've done more than all of y'all. So now he's putting me in it now. So I'm like, oh, okay. Mind you, at this point, I'm standing firm on my square. I'm holding it down, but I'm holding them accountable as an adult. I'm not on demon time like our young people say now. I'm not trying to be on Goonie time and, like, press him real hard. You know, I'm just asking him questions, but I'm being firm about it, and I'm responding to the things that he says because he's not giving me a clear answer or answer at all. He's beating around the bush. So now he says, I do more than all of y'all. So I'm like, wow. So I'm like, all right, this is not going to be. So I'm like, you know what? Q Butter, I don't know who Q Butter is. He's this brother in Brooklyn that has a school or whatever you want to call it. It's an African-centered organization where he teaches children. I believe he actually has a second one now. So a lot of people know about him in New York. So I said, Q Butter has a school. Umar, now, when I say the word Q Butter, Umar is starting to get upset now. So this is where the conversation shifted into, like, a more hostile conversation now, because he doesn't like Q Butter, because Q Butter always calls Umar Johnson out, because Q Butter is doing, like, he has a school for years now, and Umar Johnson collected all of his money. He still don't have a school yet. It don't take 10 years, or even if we give him the benefit of the doubt, 7 years ago when I met him, it don't take 7 years to buy a property. It don't. And nobody can tell me that. And even so, it's so many black organizations, schools, African center schools that's up and running already. Why didn't that donation money get put to something else? Why wasn't there some kind of committee or tribunal to allow the people that donated 10 years ago to decide what they want to happen with the money? Why is it that Umar has to have the Umar show? He has to have everything his way, and he has to have the FDMG Academy where he's the leader of everything and all of that. It's because of the ego. So at this point, you're not doing what's best for the people. You're doing what you want. You're trying to live your fantasy out and have a big school with your name on it. Because Marcus Klein, he got multiple schools. Shout out to Marcus Klein. Q Butter, Sankofa Academy. There's so many black charter schools all over the place. Like, that money that we donated could have did so much in these 10 years. You know what I'm saying? So this is why people are upset. But when I mention Q Butter, Umar starts to get hostile now. So now, and he still didn't answer the question, mind you, I asked one question. I said, what is the status of the school? If this man would have just gave me the status of the school, I might not have liked the answer, but it wouldn't have gotten to no crazy thing. I'd have been like, you know what? We watching you. We want to see this thing open. We want to make, we're going to still hold you accountable. But it wouldn't have been crazy. But he didn't want to answer the question. Why? Because he feels he can't be held accountable. He feels he's the most top requested speaker, and he always say that, King Kong consciousness. He got a huge ego, and he has horrible character, family. I'm telling you, take it from my say. Horrible character. But so now when I'm talking about Q Butter School, it shifted because he didn't answer the question yet. So now we having a debate about whether or not Q Butter has a school. So now he wants to go into this. So now he's like, oh, well, Q Butter doesn't have a school. And he's raising his voice now. He's like, Q Butter doesn't have a school. I'm like, what are you talking about? I've been there. There's people I know that work there. Like, he has a school. He's like, Q Butter doesn't have a school because he's not certified and he don't – some certified – whatever he was talking about. Legally, I guess, Q Butter didn't certify with the city or something. So Umar is playing semantics and saying, oh, he doesn't have a school technically because he doesn't – he's not certified. Mind you, Q Butter, the reason he's not certified and all of that, is the only reason is because, one – don't want to make people take vaccinations if they don't want to. You have to take vaccinations if doing it the legal way. And two, you know, they once you do certain things the legal way, they have control over it. So, like, if we talk about being stubborn and doing things for ourselves, we don't need that for them. You know, so I shout out to my brother Q Butter. But what I responded to Umar was, I said, you know what? Let me recant my statement. And you know what? I show humility earlier, too, because when he said none of y'all is doing more to me, I said, you know what? I'll give you that. Just to be cool with the conversation, just to show that I'm humble, I'm like, all right, I'll give you that. Only because he's the most top-requested talker. When it comes to being a talker, yeah, he's the top-requested talker. He can talk. He's the best talker, I'll tell you that. Talking, but so I said, yeah, I give you that. And then when we talking about Q Butter School, I said, let me recant my statement. Q Butter he's doing African centered education. So because Umar had a problem with me saying school, he's playing semantics like a child, because you know, he know what I'm talking about. He has a functioning school, he teaches people, children, and damn well at that. But he's playing semantics, so he like, Q Butter don't have a school. So I'm like, all right, let me take it back. Q Butter does African-centered education. When I said this, mind you, it's people outside watching and listening to the whole conversation. So when I said this, three brothers that were standing behind me started clapping to what I said. Because they see at this point, I'm kind of serving Dr. Umar. Because one, he tap dancing around a question. He don't want to answer the question. And two, I'm responding on my square. You know, so when I said that, he's now just getting, because I'm mentioning Q Butter, he's like, and remember, he said anybody that doesn't support Umar is a hater. That's what he's saying. So then he said, oh, well, why are you mentioning Q Butter? Q Butter is my number one hater. He's the top hater in New York City. He's the number one hater. So now he's getting upset. So when he says that, he's raising his voice at me. So I say, don't do that. You know, so I raised – and this is where I made the mistake. And if we're keeping it thorough, I'm being 100% on here. This is where I made the mistake, because I then raised my voice at him, right, after he raised his voice at me. But I wanted to be very clear. I was not the aggressor in this situation. I was holding him accountable as an adult. And I was standing on my square. I wasn't falling back. But I was not on a hostile level. And in the there's a video floating out there where he said something. Like, in response, and he even said that. He said the brother seemed like he was a supporter in the beginning. No, I wasn't a supporter. I was just being an adult and asking you a question without hostility. That's all it was. But so now he's being hostile. So when he raised his voice at me, I then responded by raising my voice at him. Now, the part that I messed up on was, and I hate to say this because it's a black man family, but I'm from Bed-Stuy. I wasn't born in consciousness. I was a knucklehead before this, and, you know, I learned a lot, but sometimes I regret. Sometimes I slip up. But in retrospect, when he raised his voice at me, I should have just punched him in his face. That's what I really, in retrospect, I really feel like I should have just, at that point, because this is why, family, and to y'all, I know a lot of people don't do violence and all of that, and unfortunately, like, this is why in the beginning I said, I don't like being associated with what happened and the way it happened, but it was absolutely necessary because we got to hold these people accountable. The reason why Brother Polite, Young Pharaoh, all of these other people in a fake, quote-unquote, conscious community got to the place where they are now and are able to be in the positions to hurt our people and to take advantage of our people is because when people see them in a city, they smile at them, and they get caught up in the celebrity worship. They get starstruck, and they forget to hold people accountable. So nobody holds people accountable. The only way they hold people accountable is on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. Nobody holds people accountable in person. So this is why people get away with this stuff. And this is why we're still in the rut that we are now. So, but like I said, I responded by raising my voice. The reason I did that was because I didn't come there. If I came there to really press him, it would have went down totally different, trust me, for one. But because he has a video online. And not that I follow him, like I said, but other people have shared it because they repost it, and sometimes they, like, put a meme on it or, like, a funny face on it to make it, like, a funny, like they're making a joke out of Umar. So they reposted this thing, and he was talking about – matter of fact, it was two comedians, and they, like, did an impersonation of Umar. And one of the things the comedian was saying was beta – because Umar did a video, he was talking about beta males. And every time somebody that, you know, he don't like, he call them a beta male. Instead of being an alpha male, he say you a beta male. So he's trying to say you're not a man. Right. You a soft, you know, you're not a man. So that's Umar's thing. So he's used to dealing with beta males because, one, he's so, you know, he knows how to speak. He's a good speaker. And people get caught up in that. They get lost. They don't know how to handle that. But that day, in Harlem, when I pulled up on him, he met an alpha that day. He met an alpha. He met the fire. And I heard he a Leo. I'm an Aries. I'm fire all day. So it wasn't going down like that. I wasn't letting him raise his voice at me. You know, so I raised my voice back. At that point, people that was inside of the church started coming outside because at that point they starting to hear that we yelling at each other. Well, it wasn't a long yell. It was like one or two sentences, and then it was starting to get crazy. So the people that came outside that was inside, they didn't hear none of the conversation. So when they came outside, all they saw was Umar Johnson arguing with somebody. Of course, you know, the majority of the people that came outside, since they on a personality worship, they automatically kind of went to him. But the part that was messed up to me was the elder, whatever you want to call her now, Yah Santiwa. I don't even like say some of our people don't even need to be having these African names of these great people that came before us. That's another thing. You can't be calling yourself Yah Santiwa. You're not living honorably. Live honorably. Have good character, you know? But anyway, she came. This is the part that messed me up because she came outside and she automatically went to Umar's side and like was like on his side. And then she turned around, looked at me, and she told somebody else, yeah, and I know him. She talking about me, telling somebody that she knows me. So I'm like, to myself, I'm like, if you know me, then how the hell you siding with Umar over me? You know? But this is the personality worship because we get so caught up in things people say and celebrityism and said earlier, worshiping or focusing or honoring or whatever you want to call it, the deeds and the work that people do, we get caught up in their rhetoric, and most of the time their rhetoric is empty rhetoric. So she comes out and she, you know, starts like trying to basically come down on me. She's like, oh, I'm wrong for that, and da, 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 da. I'm like, and at this point, because I still showing her, at this point, I was still showing her, like, you know, the respect that I have for her. I'm like, I'm calling her Mama Yah. I'm like, Mama Yah. You wasn't even outside. Like, you don't even know what happened. Like, I didn't do nothing wrong. It wasn't my fault. I'm not the aggressor. He started yelling at me. So, of course, I got on demons. Like, I started going crazy. You know? But none of that was reaching her. She was just upset. But this is the crazier part. She said to me, this is what she said now. She said, they are not going to allow us to come back and use this venue. This is the first time that they allowing us to come back outside after, you know, the quarantine and stuff. She's like, this is the first time they allowing us to come back out, and they not going to let us use this space no more. You was wrong. She don't even know what happened, mind you. So in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, like, hold up. I came out here just to have a good time, but I came and I saw something and I addressed it. Basically, all I did was ask a question. Mind you, I just asked the question. I'm holding somebody accountable for, you know, in the spirit of really doing things the right way and really getting freedom, really getting this liberation that all of us talk about for years and years. You know, I'm just trying to make sure things is happening. So all I did was ask a question. So the way that she telling me that, oh, you know, they not going to be able to use the event space no more and all of that, it made me realize her priorities. Because now I'm like, wait, hold on. It seems to me that she just wanted to have a good event because she was making money. She dealing with Umar, and somebody afterwards told me that she might be continuing to do more work with him. So I guess they're going on tour. I don't know what they're doing. But so now I'm like, oh, 2 and 2 is being put together. She working with Umar. They, I don't know what they're doing, but she throwing events. So I'm like, hold on. You mean to tell me your priority is having a successful event over doing things the right way and getting this freedom? Because last time I checked, I ain't come out here to throw on my dashiki and wear my red, black, and green and have all of these red, black, and green flags and hear somebody say some things and feel good for 2 hours and go home. That's not what I came for. I didn't come for people to make me feel good. I came to organize so we could figure out some things.
That's right.
And really get some real results out of this. That's why I came. That's what I thought it was about. And mind you, I'm 36 years old. I'm not a baby, but I'm a younger person as comparison to people that have been in this movement for a very long time. So you're supposed to be teaching me the right way to do it so you could pass the torch to me and let me continue it. And this is what you're showing me. So you're showing me your event, having a successful event, wearing your dashiki, and then go home afterwards and feel good is more important than really organizing and doing the real work and holding people accountable when they have been taking money from people for a very long time and not responding. And they think that they can't be transparent. Because that's all I was asking for was transparency. What's wrong with that? Why can't you be transparent and let people know what's happening with the funds and what's happening with the school? You know? So that's what happened. So afterwards, people, like I said, people that was outside, that was inside, came outside. They started standing in between me and Umar, like trying to break it up. At this point, now that the people come outside and stand in between me and Umar, and there's a whole bunch of people between us, now Umar's putting on a show. He's super gangster. He's super thug now. I didn't call him out his name at one point, right? But I did that strategically because I could have, you know, violated, but I did that strategically because, one, I had already served him. Everybody that was outside saw how I handled him when it came to the questions, and he didn't answer none of them. But then when he called me out of my name, it showed his character. And then you know what, Empress G? Afterwards, people that was there that came for the event, they actually, not a lot because there was a lot of fans in there, but some of the people that was there actually left. And I went home in my commute home. There was people with me that was supposed to stay for the event, and they left specifically because they said, I saw how Umar reacted. You didn't do nothing wrong, Ashe. You held it down, and I saw how he reacted and the energy that he had. I didn't like it, so I don't want to stay at the event. That's what they were saying, you know? So that's basically what happened. And then, you know, no, like I said, no punches were thrown, unfortunately. This is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with people that are extremely egotistical, people that say they African-centered but don't have African characters. You have horrible character. You can't be approached. He's talking about you can't bring 10 to 20 people, and I'm telling him it's hundreds of people online that's complaining. This is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with these so-called elders that just want to have put things on for a show. You know, they disconnected because, first of all, if you know that all of this stuff is happening, all these people are discouraged and they donate and they ain't see nothing happen yet, right? Aren't you supposed to go to the community before you decide that you're going to have an event with a certain speaker? Because the person you bring in is for the community. So if you bring somebody that has issues with the community, how you going to bring them in and expect or be mad at them when a community tries to hold them accountable? She called me an agent provocateur, Empress Chi. the elder, the Yaa Santiago, she called me an agent provocateur. But now I've learned some things about her afterwards that I didn't know before, because I was showing her so much respect, because she's put on events in New York for a very long time. I went to a few of her events, you know, before I really became who I am now. When I was first coming into this, I went to some of it, so I had some respect for her. But then I heard up a whole bunch of stuff afterwards about it that just made me be like, wow, from other people and other experiences, things I had nothing to do with. I'm just like, wow, you know. And the crazy part, too, is somebody, because I wasn't making no video, I wasn't going to talk about it, but somebody had took a video footage of Umar inside of the event that I left, and he spoke about me. And he basically lied about the whole thing. Like, this is the thing. He's a habitual liar, but he's really good at speaking. He knows his information. He reads books. He can talk about all of the black history, but he has horrible character. This is what, and it's not just me saying this, because other people have had experiences where they tried to hold him accountable, not to the level that I did, where I just pulled up, boom, I'm here, I'm asking you questions. People who try to hold him accountable in other ways, and they said the same thing. So somebody that was inside of the event recorded him at his little portion where he was talking about me a little bit at the event. And I got the footage of it. It's on YouTube. And he explained the situation totally wrong. He told the people that he answered my question. This is what he said now. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. Which one is it? You sound like you're lying. You answered it 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. First of all, there's eyewitnesses that was outside. So everybody that was outside saw how I handled it. I got respect from everybody. When I got home, I got DMs and messages, people telling me, yo, you did the right thing, and I'm really glad you did that. Because nobody else is doing that. Everybody's afraid, or everybody's in celebrity worship, and they just, you know, he can't do no wrong. But meanwhile, the same cycle is happening. He going to city, state to state, doing these lectures, talking, going on a Breakfast Club, and because he goes on a Breakfast Club and all these YouTube channels and all of these speaking engagements, he let it blow up his head to think that he is some type of Malcolm X or Marcus Garvey, which he not, you know? But when he went on the podium and spoke about me, he basically lied about every single thing, like, you know, and then he made it seem like I was the aggressor. So now people looking at me, which I really don't care, because ain't nobody going to do nothing to me, like, if they would try, they would see how Brooklyn gave it up. We not Harlem. I mean, shout out to Harlem, but we different. But that's basically what happened. And you know, in closing, I just would say, like I said, this ain't gonna stop, family. Like, I really don't care about these LB people. You know, people say, oh, we gotta unite and things of that nature. Yeah, I mean, to an extent, but you can't unite with people that are egotistical, that don't want to see real results. You know, he told me, he was like, oh, when I told him to his face, I said, Umar, this is why, when he started getting crazy, I was like, this is why people don't rock with you, because you got a huge ego and you have horrible character. You know what he said to me? He said, then don't rock. Wow. He said, don't F with me then. He said that, don't F with me. That's what he said. He didn't say, oh, you know, like, let me make adjustment. Let me think about what you're saying. He was like, don't F with me then. You know, like, so this is his thing. He's not going to change. So this is what makes me also question him, because it's like, how are you a psychologist? How are you a doctor? How are you a psychologist? You're supposed to know how the psyche works, and you're supposed to know how to handle certain things. You say you want to be the leader of a school. You want to teach our children, but you don't even have conflict resolution skills. How you can't talk to somebody and not go crazy just because they ask you a question? How do you think that you can't be held accountable just because you're a top requested speaker? That's not how it works. You can't claim you a general and you're not on the front line of the battlefield. You ain't really do nothing. So you can't expect everybody to have this kind of level of respect for you and just like let you do whatever you want when you ain't really produce nothing. But the majority, unfortunately, you know, shout out to our black women, but a lot of the sisters are the ones that support him. There's a lot of sisters that support him. And then just the other day, 2 days ago, the day before yesterday, he's on his Instagram, and because I don't follow him, he's on his Facebook, and I saw somebody else share his picture of his Facebook post, and he posts a picture of panties, literally pink panties that somebody sent, and I'm like, this is, we got Brother Polite in trouble for raping a 14-year-old. Umar Johnson is questionable. Everybody, you know, a lot of people online are questioning Umar and his character and all of that because he still ain't producing no school yet, and he still ain't answering nobody about it yet. But then you comfortable enough to post panties on your Facebook? But this the people we dealing with, and these are psychologists. So how would anybody feel comfortable sending their children to his school, even if he hypothetically gets the school in 10 more years, even if he get it? How you feel comfortable sending your children to a psychologist with horrible character and no conflict resolution skills, but he going to teach your children? How do you expect the teachers to work with him? If the teachers work with him, they're going to work with him for a couple months. They're going to realize his character and how he runs stuff and how he engages with people, and they're going to end up quitting. It's going to fall apart anyway because he got bad character. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, it's like, that's what it is, family. Are we going to do this the right way? Or are we just going to madly, blindly support something because we so desperate to have something that, you know, we feel like this is the all and all? And I don't get why everybody thinks it's the end or be all. Marcus Klein been having schools for so long. So many other people done did African center schools. Why do we think that Umar Johnson, when him getting a goddamn school, that's going to solve the black racist problems? Like, I don't get it. Family, it's so many other people with schools that's up and running right now. Go support them. Y'all still donating to this dude that been taking y'all money for 10 years and he still ain't make no school yet. And then people talking about he showed the school, I've been to the school. He purchased an abandoned building. There ain't no up and running functioning school. Ain't no teachers, no children, no workers in there. But he's a master at manipulation. He knows how to speak. He knows what to post, what pictures. He knows how to talk and all of that. So he going to dupe a lot of people. But the majority of the people that still rocking with him is people that just heard about him. Most of the people like us that been in the movement for some time know that we donated to him 10 years ago, and he still ain't got no school.
Wow.
He's duping the new people and making the new people donate and follow him and all of that. And it's just crazy, family. So, like, at this point, you know, I'm really just trying to focus on a solution, which is doing things the right way, realize that in a movement, not just this guy, like I said, it's other people, but in a movement, there's a huge thing that's missing, and that's character development, family. Good character is so important. You can't do nothing without it. We can't, even if you do something and accomplish something, it's going to fall apart if you don't have good character and work on self-improvement. We got to work on that, family. So that's what I'm working on with my movement, Solid African. Y'all can follow me, Solid African with a K, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and you're going to see some more work from me coming up soon. But, yeah, that's what happened, and I really don't want to talk about it no more to nobody. If you ask me, I'm going to tell you, but I ain't doing no videos or nothing like that because I still want to put hands on something, for real.
All right, family. We have been listening to and sharing with and vibing with Brother Ashe SJ. Of course, those of you who are regular listeners for us, then of course you know we always tell you to tune in Thorough Black Talk every Thursday, 8 o'clock on YouTube. I'm going to open up the lines for you all. We did have a few people that looked like they wanted to say something but kind of disappeared, but I'm going to put it out there again. If you have a comment, a question, a thought that you'd like to share, chime in, you can press 1 now. And we certainly would love to hear from you. This is a very candid, transparent conversation tonight. We have to have more of this because, unfortunately, in many of our communities now, people are under some very severe illusions. We think that because folks are wearing garb and chanting or doing whatever, being vegan or what have you, that's really about us being free. And it's not. And someone needs to say that, and so some folks are saying it, because we need to step in. We need to start asking questions, meaning what are folks supporting that is independent? Because I don't care how many dashikis you're wearing. I don't care how many locks you got. if you're not supporting something that is lending to us or working towards us being free, being independent, and as some of the Moorish brothers and sisters say, sovereign or what, but the bottom line is, if we're not some of us having our own schools, and I know Brother Ashe talked about charter schools, I'm going to be honest with you and say, I'm not talking about charter schools.
That's right.
I'm saying we need our own. See, I remember when we had African free schools, independent schools all over the country. And I remember when the charter school thing popped in, when they saw we was teaching our children in our communities and what we was teaching them, and saw that they were struggling, because black folks talk a lot of stuff but won't support it. The charter school brigade came in and said, look, we'll give you money. All you got to do is give us your information. So
wow.
Now what is happening, now listen very closely to this, Brother Ashe. People were developing our own curriculums, our own training processes, etc. Charter school folk came. They said, look, we'll set you up. We'll give you building. We'll pay for everything. But this is what was happening. A lot of the information that people had compiled, the research, the techniques, and all of that, became whose property? You see?
Yeah.
So it was a trade-off. And we didn't really peak it because, yeah, we wanted the education. We wanted to be able to provide the services and not have to deal with all the overhead and all of that. But what folks did was they gave the enemy too much information, because people at one point was literally working hard to develop independent education stuff. And a lot of them ended up giving it to the system. So now we have a lot of folks that have master's degrees, bachelor's degrees, teaching certificates, who some have literally developed certain apparatuses or things in dealing with education and gave it to the enemy.
Wow.
Yep. And so on one hand, of course, the charter schools are better than the regular everyday, you know, I'm just going to send you directly to the enemy straight up, because you did get, you know, some culture, some information, in the charter schools, or at least some of them. But what people forgot was it took you away from us wanting to have our own.
That's right.
And I know, because I studied it in Philly. That's why folks don't like me in Philly. Because I know what happened here, and I tell you who the people were that did it. And going to continue to do that, by the way. Okay. So,
wow.
So like you, Brother Ashe, see, I was one of those youth that came in also. And we were the student brigade, and they had us out in the street doing all the, you know, and we loved it. We loved it. But what happened was those people, a lot of them that we called elders or, you know, leaders or whatever at that time, they had us doing this work while they was behind closed doors making deals. And this is
wow.
what happened all over the country. So we need to really understand how our communities became so dysfunctional. Because a lot of the people who we fought to get in office or that we fought to do this and that, they ended up selling us out.
Yep.
You see, and we've got to tell the truth about some of this. So again, for black folks that say they are about African liberation and justice, ask the question to them, what do you do other than a festival or a conference? What do you do, or something that's connected to the corporations or the government? What are you doing independently to help? Either you're doing it or you're supporting something that is. Ask that question and see what happens. You're going to be in for a prize. At least some of
yeah,
us.
Yeah, that's very true.
Will be.
Now we in the age of, you know, everybody is doing things, because it's trending. You know, we talk about that a lot because, you know, you never had as many people that were outspoken when it comes to talk about black issues before like you have now. And the reason why is because a lot of them are really comfortable now to do it because white people are starting to come and, you know, engage on this level now. And they're starting conversations in their corporate office and stuff like that. So now you have other people that are black that should have been, you know, spearheading these issues a long time ago. Now they're starting to talk about it. So for instance, like, you know, with these hashtag movements and things of that nature, like now you got so many people talking, so much people talking about it. Even it's marketable. Like even if you look in like certain retail stores, you'll look in a window, it'll say like Black Lives Matter or certain other things like that. And
Starbucks.
You know, it's only they only doing it because it's trendy. Now they're talking about equality and they're talking about making spaces, even in workspaces and corporate offices, they're trying to make it comfortable to where conversations can be had about the disparages that black people have. But the black people that were supposed to be fighting for these causes were silent until now. Master has said that it's okay for you to talk about it now. You know, so like when it comes to a lot of these politicians, like we got this politician out here in Bed-Stuy that's based in Restoration Plaza on Fulton Street. And he took it upon himself to write Black Lives Matter in the street, like make a mural there without asking the community, without asking the black-owned businesses that's there, how they feel about it. And they think, but really they not connected to the people in the community because they didn't ask how y'all feel about this. You know, they just did it, slapped it on the street, and now they're using it as a photo op. So now that they got that done, now the cameras and the news crews is coming, and they come in to interview people to say, oh, now y'all doing this, and it's all over the papers and all of that. And now the photo op has become an opportunity for them to now run for mayoral candidate and all of these other positions. So it's like, what are we doing this for? Are we doing this for the camera? Are we doing this to make ourselves feel better? Or are we trying to strategize specifically to get results? Because that's what I'm in it for, you know? But
that's right.
A lot of these other people, you have to question their integrity. And you have to question how genuine they are. And if they actually want to see these results, or if they just want to make it seem like they're doing stuff so that they can get into a better position, you know, and whatever their urge is. That's what these people are doing right now. So we just have to make sure, like you said, make sure we are asking these questions, always keep our head on a swivel, like my sister Keisha says, and, you know, always make sure that we are looking at everything through the eyes of warriorhood, you know, because when you're looking at anything through the lens thing else, then we are not going to get stuff accomplished. And if we don't get stuff accomplished, then Ashe is going to be, when I get older, I'm going to be in the same position as an elder, and I'm going to be unable to be as active as I am now, and I'm going to be talking the same rhetoric that the ones before me have been talking. So this is a never-ending cycle. A good brother of mine, right, his name is Joshua Sabra, very good brother, he said to me, he was like, he had an event. He said, everybody talks about revolution, but in fact, we shouldn't be trying to have a revolution because what we have been having is a revolution. If you think about the word revolution, when you revolve around something, that means you start in one place and you end in the same place you started. It's like a circle. If you start at the top, you
that's right. That's
right behind at the top. So that's what a revolution is. So we don't want to continue to do the same things that we're doing in a never-ending cycle in that revolution. We really want to be a spiral. We want to continue to go round, but as we go round, we're going further and further upward. That's what we want to do. So even I know it's like semantics a little bit, you know, but – every little bit counts. This is like, I'm just saying that to say that we want to be better than we were yesterday. And we want to have something set up for the children and the next generation where they don't have to work as hard as we do. You know, if they got to fight, they're going to fight a different battle. But they shouldn't be forced to fight the same goddamn battle that the generations before us and before that have been fighting. That's just not fair.
Absolutely.
So every one of us got to pick up the spear and the shield and do as much as we can so that we can progress. You know, if we're not progressing, we're wasting time. Mm-hmm. Throw your dashiki in the garbage. Throw your red, black, and green. Throw your red, black, and green flag. Burn it. Put it in the oven. I don't know what you're gonna do, but because now what's happening is a lot of the youth and the new generation mm-hmm. is getting turned mm-hmm. off with this whole black power talk. You know why? Because it's not accomplishing nothing. We still struggling. We still getting murdered. We still getting arrested. We not progressing financially. We don't have no land. It's mm-hmm. not cool anymore. And that's mm-hmm. what kids like, is being cool and being happy mm-hmm. and being free.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having this conversation with my brother and my brother Ty, my sister Keisha, and, you know, a bunch of people. How many of our children grow up damaged in the conscious community? Children mm-hmm. that are born into consciousness, children that are children of parents that are black power, them children mm-hmm. grow up damaged, you know? So, and that's because we're not progressing to make sure that we are always child-centered at the same time and make sure that we are, like I said, doing things to make it easier for them, but also we have to produce results so that these kids will even stay engaged and want to be black power. Because at the rate mm-hmm. that things is happening right now, with them technology, they pushing all this crazy hip-hop, they pushing homosexuality and everything on our children. Like, 5-10 years from now,
mm-hmm.
things are going to be a lot different, and it's already way different. So,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm semi-young still, but I can't even relate to some of the stuff that these young kids is out here dealing with now. So, I feel old, you know? So, like, but for real, the pressure and the rate that these devils are coming down with their mm-hmm. agendas on children and the fact that we are not on point as black people where we should be, family, 5, 10, 15 years from now, we gotta do what we can to make sure that these children are even going to want to be race first and be black power, because what mm-hmm. they pushing right now, it's becoming a huge melting pot, and we starting to adapt and take on all of their agendas that are un-African, that are not even us. So, yeah, we still are, birth rates are still good, but what's the point of having a good birth rate and white people having a less birth rate if our minds are becoming European? Then we still, even though we're birthing children, we still ain't black. We still ain't African. So we got a lot of work to do, fam.
All right, Brother Ashe in the house. That's Jay. Family, we're going to come to you now. We have a couple of callers that have some thoughts, some questions, or whatever. We're going to come to you in a minute. I just want to do a little sidebar real quick, and it's to say this. One of the things that I definitely am staying on point with is when I hear people talk about what the problem is, I also then listen to hear, so what are you proposing that we do? And this is the conversation we had today. When we talked about, you know, our brother was saying, well, we need to have our own newspaper. We need to do this. We need to do that. And so my question was, so what's your plan? See, again,
right.
We can't keep repeating the same things like this is the problem or this is what we need to do. Okay, I'm with you. I got you. I'm with that. So how are you proposing we're going to do this? Because if you're not going to do that part of it, then we're just going to keep having this conversation, see? So I know Brother Ashe, I know Sister Keisha, I know Brother Tad. I can tell you about the work that they're doing relevant to what they say the problem is, you see? And that's
right.
How we have to start holding each other accountable. What work are you actually doing that's not connected to the system? Now, I'm not saying you don't do stuff that's connected to the system. I'm not saying that. You got two arms, two eyes, two ears. So, of course, you know. But, again, my particular area that I'm really getting very focused and critical about is what are we doing that's self-determined and within this other stuff. Go ahead, my brother.
Uh-huh. I just want to say real quick before you bring the call in, I just want to say, you know, it's funny you saying that. Because that's been happening to me a lot, too, where people been saying things. And What I've been doing to resolve that problem of people saying stuff like that, I've been actually telling them, you know what? When you have an idea like that, it's because it's your job to do it. See, you created the idea. Imagine if Benjamin Banneker, the great inventor that he was, or, brother with the peanut, what's his name, George Washington Carver. Imagine if they created all of these creations, and when they first had their idea, their brilliant idea, they went to somebody and said, oh, well, we need to do this. We need to create a peanut. We need to do peanut butter. We need to create the clocks and the – imagine if they said that. They wouldn't be who they are. So that's your brilliant idea. So if you come up with that, that means it's up to you to do it.
That's right.
So, family, this is how we got to look at it.
Here it is. All right, family, here we coming at you. Caller, you're at 8279. 8279, welcome to the segment of New Day. Your mic is open.
Hey, greetings, Empress. Peace and blessings. How are you? Peace and blessings
to
everyone
Captain.
On the call.
How you be?
Oh, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. How are you?
Oh, wonderful, my brother. Wonderful.
Good.
What you got
good.
For us tonight?
Hey, shout out to the brother. I was, listening to you. And, you're absolutely right. Like I said, it comes down to what actually we implement. You know what I mean? And we got to also understand that putting the right, leading by example. You know what I mean? We just dealing with so much. You know what I mean? That people don't understand. So even if it's a few of us, a tribe, we just got to, the ones that's like ready to go, because I know even from personal experience that we can lose so much valuable time and even momentum and not even get started with a movement because, we just feel like these people got to be there. Even if it's just you by yourself, I've done that myself. You just got to go and you just got to lead by example. And those that are meant to be there will show up at each point of the road.
That's right. All right, Brother Captain. Appreciate that comment. Absolutely.
Word.
Absolutely. Give thanks.
Word. Peace, brother.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brother Captain.
All
right, we're going to go to caller at 7492. 7492, your mic is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day. 7492, your mic is open. Okay. Going, gone. All right. By the way, Bigger Dre, if you are in the house, you need to press 1 so I can see you. In the meantime, we're going to go to caller at 6900. 6900, your mic is now open, and welcome to this segment of New Day. 6900.
That's me, sis.
Okay. Somehow you got bumped. Okay, yeah, you got bumped. Okay.
I think you had mute.
All right.
The other second caller, I think you had muted me when you was trying to answer them.
Okay. Let me go back to, 7492. 7492, coming back to you. Okay, that's who I need to mute out. Okay. All right, so now let's go to 8003. 8003, welcome to the segment of New Day.
Peace, family. How are you?
Hey,
peace,
greetings.
Peace.
Is this Brother Bigger?
Yes, it is.
All right, give thanks. All right, brother, you stay right there. Let me see if there's any more questions or comments before we bring you in. And Brother Ashe, I don't know if you heard about what this brother's getting ready to share with us, and it all ties in. The brother's going to share with us a report, actually, that he brought to my attention, and after I looked into it further, I said, we got to share this with the family. But once again, an African family, a black family, had the need to take the child to the hospital, for reasons we'll go into later. And these people they decided to keep the child to the degree where they took the child from the parents because they wouldn't cooperate with whatever they was talking about. First it was one. My point is, what are we going to put in place? And again, anytime I ask a question, you best believe I got a plan of action. Which is why if anyone paid attention to our Recharge Genocide project, it clearly said out of those 21 points, we reserve the right. This is not only relevant to being able to treat COVID or any so-called disease the way we want to, but also we reserve the right when it comes to other kinds of medical care, treatment, et cetera. So in this particular case, Brother Ashe, a family took the child was being breastfed, the system decided, oh, no, they ended up keeping the child, putting the child in foster care. So we're going to share that story, but that's what Brother Digger's going to do shortly because there's some updates. But the point is, in our communities, what are we setting up so that we can have the line of defense when it comes to being able to secure our rights, our human rights? We ain't even going to talk about the civil rights piece because that's something they give you. But you have inalienable rights. So in our communities all over the country, what institutions, what educational outlets or whatever are we literally preparing our people to be astute enough to know what to do, how to do it, when to do it in our community, when the system, and they're coming. This is why I said to the women, if sisters do not understand, I mean, our whole family, our whole community, but sisters, target is getting ready to be placed on the sisters when it comes to these children. See, because they see the weakness there. And even though this family that we're going to talk about wasn't weak, the mere fact that they were strong and still got caught up in having to deal with this kind of issue, because where is our backup for this kind of situation all over the country? And yeah, I say this because those of us who have tried to do this stuff, the people who say they are about it will not support us.
That's right.
That's right. See? So, again, we got to call it the way it is. So, Brother Bigger, I want you to stay right there. I think we have one more. Let me just check to see. Hold on one thing real quick, quick, quick. Okay, I thought I saw Sister Keisha, but maybe I didn't. Or either she had to go because I know she had another event. Okay, but it looks like that was all of the questions or the call. But before we come to you, Brother Bigger, have you heard, were you listening to what our brother was talking about, Ashe? Were you able to hear some of that? Okay.
I was able to hear what the brother was speaking of, and it was very good information. It actually ties into what I have been doing prior to even starting the Human Trafficking Prevention Awareness Campaign. I'm here to, share that there is work that is being done. But as you also stated, it's important that the community supports the work and not just talk and sit around and watch. So just like that information that you said, that I shared to you about this family is not directly or blood related to me, but because I'm not in the house and I'm in the field, it came across my network and I was able to share it with other part of the extended family, which is the community, yourself, so that we can get it out to the people. So, so even though I'm doing a campaign, I don't look at my campaign as it being separate from this campaign because this is a form of human trafficking, and this is what my pain is all about. It's about sharing the complexity of this pandemic. You know what I'm saying? Or should I say this plandemic? I'm not talking about the coronavirus. I'm talking about the disproportionate numbers of missing melanated people and how they're going missing, and to really expose that. But again, you know, I'm not here to just sit there and talk to people about all of these things. I'm here to put something in place, which have something in place, and also prevent it from, you know, continuing.
Okay. Well, hold that for one moment. I'm going to go back to Brother Ashe for a minute and have him to give us his closing comments. Brother Ashe, I hope you can still stay with us for a few minutes because I want you to hear the report. And family, remember, we're creating a network of independent communications. We said this last year and the year before that we were going to do it, and we are. That's why every week I always recommend other entities, Black independent speaking truth to power entities that you can check out, listen to, tune into. We have to do that. We have to build this network. So again, with Thorough Black Talk, these are some of the other connecting independent media communications information outlets. Community Cop, Africa on the Move, we have several. And so we're building that network. So, again, I'm going to go back to Brother Ashe, get his closing comments. Brother Ashe, I hope you're able to hear a little bit of the report, and then you and Sister Keisha can maybe look at it further and maybe talk about it on Thorough Black Talk. Because, you know, what happened to this family is just, I mean, it's a clear, again, case of what we call genocide. It's another form of modern-day genocide. Before, genocide used to be perceived as, I'm going to line you up and shoot you, I'm going to put you in the gas chamber or whatever. That was the perception or the idea of genocide. That's not it today. That's why our campaign is called We Charge Genocide 21, because we're in the 21st century. So this is a totally different modus operandum that we're dealing with eugenics and ethnic cleansing, gentrification. As Brother Ashe mentioned, every part of the country where there's a large population of Black folks, and we can document it. I have seven cities that we've documented. They all have city planning reports that they put together to give the projection of what those cities are going to look like between now and the year 2050. Every major city. You see?
Wow.
And so we don't understand how these folks are moving, but, I mean, you know, in terms of most Black folks, and even some of the ones that do, again, are selling us down the drain. So anyway, let me go back to Brother Ashe, get his closing comments, and then we're going to get the report from Brother Bigger Dre. On, again, this is just an example of what these people, what we know they're doing in taking our children under the guise of protection, safety. You're not feeding the child the way we say that you should, or you're not giving the vaccination that they're supposed to have. They can now take your child. And you think that's not going to get worse with this COVID thing and other diseases that they're coming up with? Anyway, back to Brother Ashe.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely going to hang out and, you know, just be in the background and listen to the report because, you know, that's definitely on their agenda, is to get us off the planet any way they can. So yeah, I'll definitely check that out. But listen to the audience, just to recap, man, I really appreciate you, Empress. Everything that you do, relentless efforts, you know, and I'm just trying to be the best African I could be to continue those efforts and be even better. We should all be trying to be better than the ones that came before us, you know, just because there's so much work to be done, you know, like it's tiresome, you know, and we got to stop it because we can't be having our children fighting the same battle. So, that being said, my name is Ashe S.J. like she y'all can listen to us, Thorough Black Talk, and that's real what you said, because we do have to have a united front when it comes to independent black media as well.
That's right.
We need to be all on the same page. We need to all be, if it's an event, we need to be promoting those events so everybody can see them. And everything, we just got to be on the same page so nobody could come in between that and say some nonsense. And that's how we're going to galvanize the minds of our people, not having different, you know, directions that our people should go in and things of that nature. We should be going all in the same direction. Check us out, Thorough Black Talk, every Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m. Tell a friend and tell a friend, YouTube, Facebook, Thorough Black Talk. And my platform is called Solid African, and that's African with a K. Y'all could go on my Instagram, my YouTube, see the videos I did. I do black cash mobs. I support people. I was taking people to the range before, you know, this kid, we was going out to shoot at the range all the time. But, you know, I'm morphing to something else and figure something else out to do. I stay active. So yeah, and we had an event that was happening tomorrow, but, you know, now we got this hurricane, so we're going to postpone it till next weekend. But if y'all in the NYC area or y'all feel like coming through, we having a free event. It's about Black August, and I'm also going to, you know, I'm going to highlight some of the, because August is a spiritual month now. That's a holy month for our people. Today actually
That's
is
right.
the Nat Turner Rebellion and the Haitian Revolution. That's today.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
You know. Oh, this is very spiritual times. And I think last night was like a full moon or something like that. So this energy right now, we got to galvanize this. So make sure y'all are paying attention to Black August. And, you know, I'm going to talk about some of the very important events that happen, as well as give you concrete ideas of what you can do to get off your armchair and get out here and be active, not being an armchair revolutionary. We want people that's actually doing stuff, you know. So that's what we got going down. Please support, follow. I definitely will be back up here. Anyway, that you, anything you need from me, Empress, you just let me know. The young fire god is on deck.
Appreciate
y'all. Kick it in the background and listen to the rest of the show. Appreciate y'all. Peace.
All right,
be before
you. Black at you. Love you much. And I just want to add one thing to what Brother Ashe said, and it is that we have to be going in the direction, all of us. Now, with that said, there's different, shall we say, ways to do that, but the objective and the goals need to be the same. And I say that because one of the two things just came to mind when Brother Ashe was saying what he was saying, and that is when I saw Baba Kwame Ture in February of 1998, I had the opportunity to, you know, spend a few hours with him, just he and I, and he was so ill. He was so ill, but the following week, he was at a hospital, not as a patient. The hospital workers were protesting, and he was in his wheelchair with the hospital workers protesting with them. My point is, yes, they had pictures and everything. He was down with whatever they was talking about. He went to support them. As sick as he was. So as Brother Ashe was talking, it came to my mind some of the words that I remember him repeating over on many occasions, and that was, we must not fail our ancestors. That's one of the famous things that he said. Yep. And the other thing that came to mind as you were saying, speaking, Brother Ashe, was one of my other brothers used to say, you're either going our way or you're in the way.
Uh-huh. And I'm going to add to that, get out the goddamn way.
That's right. And that's right. And we're going to move some people out of our way. That's just the reality now, because it is a war. And you know what we got to do in that kind of situation. There's some things that can no longer be acceptable. And so, you know, we move forward. So, Brother Ashe, again, I thank you. And, hey, we're going to keep this thing moving in the manner that we're supposed to, the way our ancestors are now mandating. And I'm very specific when I say ancestors. I say our freedom-fighting ancestors.
I say.
All right, let's go back to Brother Bigger. Brother Bigger, please be so kind to share of course, this information and the basic information, and then give us the update. Because there's some that haven't heard, because until you contacted me, I had not, and I stay pretty on top of stuff. And I missed this one, so please be so kind to share it with us.
All right. Again, peace and blessings to the family. So this information, again, I came across while just doing the work in the community. And it's about a holistic family, a naturopathic family who is practicing the culture. And the mother, a black woman, her name is Saisha Mercado, and her husband, Tyron, I don't know if I'm pronouncing their names correctly. They are a holistic, family, vegan. The mother was, breastfeeding their first child. His name is Amon Ra, SBA. And the child was doing very well with the breastfeeding. And then, because of the breastfeeding or just because of the woman's natural body chemistry, for whatever reason, the milk wasn't producing as consistent as it was. So she had to begin to wean the child off of the breast milk. The child was used to being breastfed and wasn't accepting it, the supplements that or the weaning process. So as a mother, as we know in our community, the mother is the nurturer, she took her child to the hospital. They're located in Florida. The county is Matane County. You can do your research on that. So she took the child to the Matane Hospital and, make sure that the child was getting the necessary nutrients. Also keep in mind, this sister is a certified nutritionist. This is not something that she was just doing on her own or the experimental stage. She does this holistic work helping other families. So this is not something that she was foreign to. This is not somebody that was experimenting. When she took that child to the hospital, they suggested that the child didn't necessarily need a B12 shot, but they wanted to give the child a B12 shot. To make a long story short, the sister was coerced into signing some type of documentation, which they use to create a situation where they took her child on March the 11th, okay? And then, the day after, they had some type of virtual court hearing. Everything moved just so fast. The parents didn't get the information in time because it's dealing with the computers and all this other kind of stuff. And they took the child, Amon Ra, on March the 11th. And then fast forward to date, in the month of August on the 11th, so they have two children. Amon Ra was the first child that was taken on March the 11th. The second child, which is, a precious baby girl by the name of Asset or Ast, the I don't even know what to call these people. The institution that's been put in place to protect families, they took the 11-day-year-old child Asset. So they had two children. So they had one child who was being breastfed. That's Amon Ra. And then they have another child who was like a newborn. So this is a you can see this is attack. And I was looking at the numbers. March the 11th, they took the first child, and then they came back and they took the newborn child on August the 11th. Some may say, oh, that's just a coincidence. And then it's 6 months. You see what I'm saying? It's six months, literally 6 months from when they took the first child. But due to us doing our part as a community, when I say us, not just me, people who have been sharing the information, they just recently returned. This is the update. The baby girl, asked. Because now the community has been put on notice. People are responding. And because of the funds that the family has raised, they were able to retain a you know, representation so that they could, you know, fight this beast within the system. So this is what's taking place, but they're still trying to get the first child that was taken, okay, which is the baby boy, Amon-Ra. So this is a case that I think that we need to not only support because we don't want to continue to see it going on, because this is not an isolated incident. This is taking place in various states and cities all over the country and all over the world. But this particular case, because it has gained so much attention and the support that's around it, I think it's an opportunity for us to use it as an opportunity for us to put something in place to stop this from continuing. So if y'all want more information on how you can support the family, because I'm sure that they're still going through some processes, even with the child that they have back. Also, another key point that I did want to mention, these children were taken from an African family, from their natural mother and father, and given to European family. Okay? That's another key point I wanted to because that's one of the main things that you got to kind of see. Like I was talking about the dates, how March the 11th, they took the first child. Then they come back 6 months later and take the newborn child. And then these children are not only being forced to this system. This is human trafficking, okay? But then they're being given to the same entities or the same beasts who actually started this conspiracy. You know what I'm saying? Not to a family who practices this holistic. Remember, this people have a certain. They're practicing and living the culture. You know, their way of life. But their children are being taken and used as chattel property and given to the colonizer. So that's another point that I did want to make in reference to that. But if you want to support the family, all right, they actually have a link tree. All right, so you go to link. I want y'all to write this down because, again, you know, we get on and we listen and we talk and we share information. For me, I'm a solution-based person. You know, they have a petition that's going on. So find out how you can get involved. Again, this is not my campaign. But it's not like, oh, it's not my campaign. I'm not going to share it. No. You know, we got to get back to the African-centered way where it takes a village to raise one child. So, like I said, with this particular incident, because it has gained so much notoriety, we also have to use that to our advantage so that we can get more people to wake up and see if we can put something in place to not only remedy this particular situation, because that's what we're trying to remedy and support this family. But my thing is about prevention and awareness. But we want to put something in place to not only remedy the situation, but also put something in place to prevent this incident from taking place again, period. Because it should never take place. They shouldn't. If we were practicing our culture like we were supposed to, you know, we would have had a hedge of protection around the mothers. And it's a video that you see where they took this black woman's child out of her hands while the black man was standing right there. If that's not slavery, modern day slavery, and what took place in the 1500s with our ancestors, I don't know what is. But my thing is, our people do not recognize that it still is. They're in a sunken place. So I'm going to give you their link tree, and I'm also going to give you some information about the campaign that I'm doing to bring a solution to this ongoing problem. I don't like to say we have problems, but this is the problem. This is more than a challenge. They showing you that they doing more than challenging you. They literally taking the child while the man is right there. Okay, but united we stand, divided we fall. So if it was a group of brothers and sisters, and we had a system that was set in place, then it wouldn't be just an easy walk in the park. Mm-hmm. And we wouldn't be trying to remedy something because we already had things in place to prevent. So brothers and sisters, if you don't have a pen, get a pen right now so you can support this family, okay? Because their family is our family. That's the African way. It takes a village. All right?
That's
I'm going to give you this this information so that you guys can support their efforts. Again, the 11-year-old asked the little baby asset. She was just returned because they can see now. People are starting to know. They're signing a petition. The petition got over 180,000 signatures. But it shouldn't take petitions, and it shouldn't take us. We shouldn't be on the defense, you know, or the offense. We should be in the position of deterring. You know what I'm saying?
And also, let me just add a little sidebar. Because of the age of the child, the youngest child, that's another reason why they would be a bit more motivated to return the child to the mother, because the child is like fairly new. It's like a newborn.
I disagree with that, Empress.
I think in this particular case is because, see, again, they already have one. So for them to keep both of the children, and particularly the one that is just born, I'm not saying that they care or anything like that. I'm just saying how they think strategically, that it's like when you go to court, they'll hit you with 50 charges. Right? They don't really care about the 50. It's a game. It's to say, well, okay, we'll concede to, to 10 of the charges or 20 of the charges. They never cared about those 10 or 20 anyway. But for the appearance sake, it appears like they're, you know, trying to do something right or whatever.
Well,
but go ahead.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying, but it wouldn't be no appearance if people didn't know about it. And this is what I'm trying to say. Because it's gaining that attention, for appearance sake. That's the only reason why they're doing it. It's not because of the child is younger. We got to call it like it is. It's not because the child is younger.
Point of clarity. That's not what I was saying. I wasn't saying it's because the child is younger. No, I agree. It is appearance sake, but I'm saying it's easier to do it that way. And here's why, and then I'm going to let you finish. A few weeks back, we had another family that came on. For those who remember Dr. Ali, we had the video of them at the hospital with the child. The child died. And we had the video of the whole thing during the whole time. So again, I'm saying this because in understanding how these people operate, remember that the Fraser Crest Wellstein, others made it very clear. But one of the key things that she and Brother Neely Fuller kind of put in our brains is, if you do not understand the system of white supremacy, everything else will only confuse you. So you're right that it is the pressure and the power of the people, but I'm saying, from another vantage point, that would have been the easier route for them. on a whole nother different level. That's an easier route. And make it seem like, well, you know, we are being conciliatory to what the people are saying. Because, again, it's harder to fight for, you know, in terms of them keeping an infant child from their mother, that's a harder struggle. So they'll give that one up at this point. Because they know that the child needs the mother, particularly if she's nursing. See, that would bring more heat on them. But I'm sorry, I digress. Please continue.
All right, so family, I hope everyone, you know, you got your pens ready so that we can, you know, do our due diligence and do our part to support this family. Again, I'm not a part of this campaign. I'm just treating it as if it was my brother or sister-in-law or my uncle or just a family relative, because they are relative and the situation is relative. So I hope y'all mm-hmm. writing this down, and I hope you guys will sign a petition, see what you can do. If they have a campaign, donate to their campaign, as well as supporting Empress Filet and what she's doing, her work. We got to, you know, contribute. We got to part of the whole, to be a part of the solution. And being part of the solution is us participating, you know, and on a consistent basis. So, the link, it's link, linktr.ee, and then it's the / protect. Mm-hmm. The cap is a capital P for protect. ROTECT, a capital T for the, THE, a capital S for star. Capital S for star is STARSEEDS. So it's linktr.ee/ protect the star seeds. The P, the T, and the S, and protect the star seeds are capital letters. All right? So that's where you can go, and you can find out more information in great detail about this family and how you can support and how you can get involved, because they are not only fighting for their family. Again, this is a family who supports other families who have a way of life. So now other families have reached out to them in support, and there are other children who have been taken by these institutions, and they have they're putting something in place to prevent these things from happening. Also, the brother, I wanted to chime in, the brother had mentioned about what our children are listening to and what they're doing, along with the campaign that I put together on December 26th, created a PSA. It's called Eschatology, Bring Our Girls Back. It's a PSA. It's a public service announcement. It's the actual theme work behind the actual music. It's used as a tool to bring awareness to human trafficking and also what day and time we're in and what's going on. So I need the family to also support that. And how you support mm-hmm. that is you go to official, that's OFFICIAL, Bigga Dre, that's BIGGADRE .hearnow.com. Here is HEAR, like listen, hearnow.com. So that's official bigadre.hearnow.com. And I need y'all to download the PSA, Eschatology, Bring Our Girls Back. And, you know, we're raising a awareness and we're raising funds to put a system in place to stop this human trafficking in the various areas, not just sex trafficking. So that's what this particular campaign that I'm currently active in and I've been doing since December 26th when the PSA was released, to bring awareness and show you how the human trafficking is directly connected to the Ma'afa, how it's connected to sex trafficking, how it's connected to the prison industrial complex, and how it's to these institutions who have camouflaged themselves as protective entities, but they're also, but what they really are agents of deceit. So the way that you support that campaign is you can go to the official bigotsraydiehearnow.com, and you'll see a link on there where you can actually donate to the campaign as well. And you can also read more information on the in-depth ways that we are going about trying to remedy this problem, because it's beyond a challenge now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't like to use the word problem, but it's beyond a problem. Right. It's beyond a challenge now. It's a problem. So and we got to stop talking important, and we got to start getting involved. So, again, thank you, Empress. And Empress, thank with all of those links and everything like that, you should tell everybody about $2 Tuesday and how they should support your efforts of consistent work every Saturday.
Absolutely.
So support it all, family.
Absolutely. And interestingly enough, we're almost going to kind of shut down the $2 Tuesday. It was really kind of a test, to be honest with you. Sister Tawanda came up with it. We just really wanted to see, you know, how many of our people would give us two freaking dollars. You know, you would think that that would be something real simple, real easy. And, I mean, who won this $2? Would you be surprised how few $2 we got over these past months? And I have to say that because, again, I just really was watching to kind of see how that was going to go. You have various entities that raised thousands of dollars, and they ain't nowhere near the work we're doing. You know, we have to do this radio program every week and been doing it for 14 years independently. And not to mention the various events that we do in the community. Most of them are free. But we wanted to see out of our listeners and our supporters and all that, how many would just give us two freaking dollars a week or every other week? Mm-hmm. So again, it was very interesting to observe. So thank you, my brother, for bringing that point up. But again, we're watching things very carefully as we proceed. The last thing I want to mention is this. Those that didn't get the information that Brother Bigger Dre just emailed us, because I'm sure most of you have our email or text, and we'll ship that to you. We'll forward it to you. The other thing, too, is I want to bring Brother Ashe back in the few, because Brother Bigger Dre is an artist, y'all. Even though, and he didn't say this, I'm going to say it. So what he's asking you to support when he says public service announcement is really some art, music, words spoken to music, etc. And the reason why when he said it, I thought about what I heard on Thorough Black Talk this past week. Oh, my gosh. Brother Ashe, I'm going to come back to you in a minute because I want everybody to hear the brother's name of the cut y'all played on, oh, my, you talking about fire? Oh, my gosh. But anyway, hold that point for 1 minute. I mean, see, this is what we have to do. We got the people that are really doing certain types of work, we got to make sure we put that information out there. Okay, so I'm going to go back to Brother Ashe for a minute and just get the name of that brother. And oh, my gosh. But anyway, going back to Brother Bigger Dre, again, family, we have to support folk that are doing some serious work through their art, through their events, et cetera. And we're going to put forth even more of an effort to really maximize folks getting that information. Okay, so that's our commitment. That's our commitment. Most folks, all you know, they talk always about getting paid. And my position is that I'm smart enough to figure out how I'm going to get paid. I don't have to use our people to do that. That's right. And so that was a challenge over the years, but we figured it out. And y'all are going to see what we're talking about very soon. We want our people to support us, but at the same time, we made very clear and very straight that we're not pimps. We're not poverty pimps. We're not culture vultures, none of that. And we've maintained that position for 20-plus years. So anyway, going back to Brother Bigger. Brother Bigger, so this is what we're going to do. With your project, we're going to be adding that on to what we call our Power 25. What we talked about today, because, see, again, we talk about what we're going to do and how we're going to do it when we talk about what some of the issues and problems are. So we're identifying independent black products. And so for Kwanzaa, we're going to be offering people packets of 25, meaning for $25, you will get soap or candles or whatever, music, books or whatever. You see, we will have selected specific products that black folks make themselves. And what we'll be doing on our website and other, you know, interactions is offering folk for $25 for Kwanzaa, during Kwanzaa time, packages of black products. So, Brother Bigger, get your stuff ready. Brother Ashe, get the network that you're with, get it ready so that we can all connect that and put these products out ready for Kwanzaa. We're going to kick it off on or around Black August. I mean, not Black August, Black Solidarity Day, November the 1st. Black Solidarity, right. we're going to pump up Black Solidarity Day. Bring that back. So that people can start really doing the things that our people have done and prove that it worked at some point. So for those that don't know what National Black Solidarity Day is, you're going to know. November 1st is 50 years old, or 50 years since its creation. And we're going to make sure that we keep the history and the legacy of certain things. So, but that's it. I just wanted to say that to you, Brother Bigger. Brother Ashe, what was that brother's name?
Yeah, so that actually was Q Butter. That was Q Butter.
That was
he
Q
also
Butter.
Does.
Oh, God.
Brother does a lot. Mm. He got African Center education. He also has a studio. He had a photography place in his space. Well, brother does a lot. He prints T-shirts. He does everything, man. But he also is, I guess you would call it, insurrectionary hip hop or black power rap.
Oh,
he does that. So that was Q Butter. I was looking up on YouTube, and you know, of course, I got to hail up my other brothers, the Vanguard United Front.
Oh yeah,
them brothers
right
there.
Yeah,
those brothers, their music. Oh man, you talking about you want to put some work in? I'm talking about you want to put somebody in the dirt like these Devils or something. Oh man, you listen to their music. You definitely going to be hype, but before your workout or something, like, it's crazy, man. Shout out to Q Butter and the Vanguard United Front. And I'm going to definitely check out the brother. I pulled up your website already, and I checked out. I'm going to look up, you know, sign a petition and everything, and, you know, definitely going to support the brother.
Cool. And also, I texted to you, Brother Ashe. I don't know if you saw that, but I texted you that link already.
All right.
Okay, so just you know, you have it as a backup. Family, we're going to get ready to close out. This has been a powerful, powerful program. We thank all of you. On the tip of Black August, we're going to close out tonight with, of course, Mumia Abu-Jamal. He has done a recent commentary. Brother Ashe, what we do on many occasions when Mumia releases commentaries, we play his commentary. So he has released one as of 8/17, and we're going to close out with that. It's very appropriate, needless to say, none other than Mumia Abu-Jamal. But before we do, I want to thank everyone again for tuning into this segment of New Day. Thank you, Brother Captain, and of course, Brother Ashe, Brother Bigger Dre, all who are tuning in online. We thank you all as well. We want to remind you, we are heading to New York on September 4th. And this is just phase one. This is just the kickoff. This is not the biggie or whatever at this point, but it is a necessary step in making our position very clear in the way that the world begins to know and understand that some of us are on point. And that even though people are talking about their voting rights and all of that, and, you know, we get it, but, you know, that was also something, you know, 50 years ago that people were talking about and working towards. But on the issue of human rights, that ball got dropped. Brother Malcolm made it very clear in 1964 when he started traveling to Africa on our behalf and met with nations in regards to supporting our position on human rights. Well, guess what? We are Malcolm's children. Therefore, we have a responsibility to bring that position forward. This being the 70th year anniversary that Paul Robeson took the We Charge Genocide petition to the United Nations in 1951. This is a teachable moment and also the time to bring it forward and to do it in the spirit that it represents, a certain type of mindset. So family, please support the We Charge Genocide 21 campaign. We have 21 points. So it's not just police and governmental terrorism, COINTELPRO, mass incarceration, juvenile injustice, gentrification, medical apartheid, et cetera, et cetera. There are 21 areas that we're saying are crimes against humanity of our people, for our people, or in regards to our people. So our Cash App handle is $HOT1111. Again, $HOT1111. This will go towards brochures and other kinds of information that helps to teach about what genocide is, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, also helps us to bring about advocates and activists who can actually bring this information forward into our communities, et cetera. Again, Cash App us at $1111 or PayPal and send it to our National Black Human Rights email, which is abbreviated in as in N. nbhrproject@gmail.com. Again, nbhrproject@gmail.com. And we also have membership now. So you can text us or email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Or text us at area code 267-636-3802. All right, family, again, we appreciate all of you. We thank all of you for all that you do, particularly when it is lending to and helping to bring about real justice and irreversible liberation. With that said, we're going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you in the spirit of Ma'adenhotep. But remember, there can never be any real peace, meaning Hotep, until there's truly justice. And my brothers, this is what we say to close out. If there's no justice, there's no what?
Peace.
No peace. That's right. All right, family, again, we've been talking with Brother Ashe, S.J., Thorough Black Talk. Of course, our brother, Vigor Dre. Going to deal with this issue of human trafficking in the 21st century. We're going to see now who is really who and what folks is really talking about actually doing. That also means upping the ante when it comes to self-defense. Sisters, for those of you who are in the Philadelphia tri-state area, we do have our own instructors. We've had them for years. Some of y'all know that, okay? But we are bringing it back again to the forefront now that COVID has kind of subsided a bit. Our brother Sifu Bilal Jafari Eel is ready to proceed with training for sisters who are interested in holistic self-defense. So that means if you don't want to do the physical thing, it's okay. But at least you will know how to protect yourself utilizing items that are just in your purse or on your person. Again, this is all now ready to go. You can email us at nationalmwm@aol.com or give us a call or text us at area code 267-636-3802. Remember, Thorough Black Talk, Thursday, 8 o'clock, YouTube. Also, Community Cop, also on YouTube, anytime. And, of course, Africa on the Move. Brother Africa, Lee Robinson, is on Sunday at 8 o'clock, I'm sorry, 7 o'clock on Black Talk Radio, all right? All right, family, we're going to close this session out. We're going to hear from our brother, Mumia Abu-Jamal. Remember, this is Black August. Oops, hold on, let me queue this up for you. This is Black August, and with that said, we have a responsibility to, of course, free all of our political prisoners. Again, there's something that everyone can do, and we should. So with that said, what are we doing in support of our political prisoners? What are we doing, family? At any rate, here we go. Mumia Abdul-Jamal. This is his latest commentary, and it's titled, hold on 1 minute, it's taking a minute to queue up here. Oh, shiver. Hold up. Of course, it's stalling on me now, but here we go. Okay, here we go.
The dramatic fall of Kabul to the forces of the Taliban, the alligator tears of the political class are falling. Decrying the cost of U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. What has been thoroughly forgotten, however, is the unprecedented mass protests of February 2003, before the war began, when the earth shook with anti-war fervor in countries across the globe. Then President George W. Bush would ignore these protests as a mere focus group. His words, focus group. In the 2004 book, The Citizens of the Empire, author and critic Robert Jensen recounted the worldwide actions on February 15, 2003 were the single largest political demonstration in history. Millions of people all over the globe poured into the streets to try to derail the Bush administration's mad rush to war. How, in an alleged democracy, can the government so easily ignore the views of millions? It happened, and chaos came to Afghanistan and wreaked havoc for over 20 years. What if the protests had won? We will never know. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abdul-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Imprisoned Radio.
Freedom all.